Now, the last two times I have preached, we've looked at various aspects of separation. We've all been separated from others during this pandemic, and after several national lockdowns, life has become so different than it was before. We understand why we have to be apart, however, that doesn't make it any easier. But now, due to the rollout of the vaccines, hopefully we can come together once more, spend time with our families, with our friends, in particular having fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We have considered briefly how the world thinks about separation. For example, we see how easy that has become to get a divorce. We had a brief look at the doctrine of separation, and we spent more time looking at eternal separation, when believers would be separated from unbelievers for all of eternity. And last time we considered how the Christian strives to separate themselves from sin by putting their sin to death, what we know as mortification of sin. And this time I wanted to focus on the Christian's eternal separation. As we leave this life and cross into eternity to be with our Lord and Saviour in heaven, I wanted to have a close look at what awaits a Christian and what is heaven like. However, I found it difficult to focus and to get a clear mind about it. How often do we find a closed door? It was as though the Lord didn't want me to preach on this subject. Not now. Maybe not ever. Only time will tell. Therefore, I considered what else is relevant to separation. What other things are stumbling blocks to our understanding of the scriptures? My mind went back to Pilgrim's Progress, that wonderful book by John Bunyan about the believer's progress through this life and all the traps and snares, the distractions, the false beliefs. And I remembered that at the end of the story, Christian, as he reaches the pearly gates of the celestial city, there is another one with him. However, while Christian passes safely through, the other is rejected and sent straight to hell. How can someone be so close to heaven, yet be so far away that they have no chance of entering? And this can be a scary thought. How can any one of us truly know that we are saved? So this brings us to our subject for today. And I would suggest it's one of the believer's enemies that perhaps gets overlooked a bit. Yet if we aren't aware of this, it could cost us. And we might end up on the wrong side of that eternal separation and lost forever. The word is ignorance. I'm sure we all know the term ignorance for someone we know or have known in the past. So back to basics. What is ignorance? Well, the dictionary definition is this. Ignorance is a lack of knowledge and information, a lack of understanding, or a lack of awareness. And there are various types of ignorance. Firstly, this factual ignorance, the absence of knowledge of some fact. Now, if you're like me, when you watch a quiz programme on the television and the contestant doesn't know the answer to a seemingly simple question, it can be frustrating to watch. And you end up shouting at the television, "How can you not know that?" Though this can be any one of us at any time. See, if we don't have an interest in a particular subject, then we are less likely to want to know more and retain every bit of information we come across. Therefore, we can be guilty of this type of ignorance. But that's okay. That's all right. We know that we only have a limited capacity in our minds to hold information. It is impossible to know everything about everything. So to acknowledge this will help us to overcome our ignorance. Secondly, there is object ignorance, which is an unacquaintance with some objects. So if you watch some of these antique programmes, now and then they will show an object and ask the question, what was it used for? Now you may or may not get the answer right, depending whether you've seen the item before or you just happen to guess it right. The object is probably obsolete, so there is no need to know about it. Or it might be a brand new invention that hasn't become well known yet. Again, being ignorant in some things is okay. For not knowing about certain things does not have serious consequences. Thirdly, we have technical ignorance, which is an absence of knowledge of how to do something. In these days of information being available at the touch of a button, we can access virtually any subject at any time. Don't know how to do something? Watch a tutorial on YouTube. Look it up on the internet. But then the danger is a little knowledge can be a dangerous thing. For example, we can watch how to carry out a medical procedure. However, it would be foolish to attempt it without the relevant years of training and experience. By doing so would lead to disaster. Once again, we see that it's okay to be ignorant in some things, as it is impossible to be an expert in everything. Being aware of our own ignorance in certain things keeps us grounded. If we think we know it all, then pride has a strong grip on us. And this awareness should keep us humble. Now, though this reality check on how ignorant we can be in some things, we mustn't believe that old saying, ignorance is bliss. Looking back at ancient times, the people believed that the earth was flat, until someone proved that it wasn't. When tobacco was first used, people were largely ignorant of the harmful effects. And believing a rumour or hearsay, say, particularly relevant during this pandemic, many people still don't believe that there is a virus, and some of them think that all the world leaders have come together in a huge conspiracy, and the vaccines will cause more harm than good. Now, many forms of ignorance exist due to an indoctrination of certain beliefs. For many years, schools, colleges, and universities have encouraged students to question everything, which on the surface sounds like a good thing. However, if everything is questioned and we are taught there is no absolute truth, then how do we progress? And the media today seems to be based on opinions rather than solid facts, undermining the quest for truth. One's opinion or belief is as valid as anybody else's. Add to this much intolerance towards other people's opinions, i.e. I can say what I want and you must accept it, but I will not listen to you nor accept your point of view. And it's amazing how many people say they don't believe in God and then salute a magpie on its own, or touch wood, or believe that breaking a mirror will lead to 7 years bad luck. I suppose if people don't or won't believe in God, then they are open to believing any old rubbish. Now, many forms of ignorance can be eradicated by seeking to learn and grow in knowledge. Now, as I said before, it's impossible for us to know absolutely everything about everything. However, it is possible for us to know someone who does know everything. The Bible tells us that God is omniscient because he does know everything. He has complete knowledge and infinite awareness. And that brings us to our main source of help regarding this subject, the Christian's default resource, and the question we must always ask: what does the Bible say about ignorance? Excuse me. In the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6, the Lord says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I also will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." Now, while being unintentionally ignorant about earthly topics is understandable, intentional ignorance about spiritual matters can lead to eternal destruction. And here we read about the failure of Israel's religious leaders, including most of the prophets of this time, would bring about their downfall. You see, the priests had failed to teach God's law to the people. And as a result, the priest would be the special object of God's judgment. Think about that. The priest would be the special object of God's judgment.
Wow.
He would terminate the priestly line. Then in Romans 1, if you'd like to turn to that in your Bibles, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 18, we read, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things." Now, the Bible makes a distinction between ignorance and innocence. In Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verses 8 to 12, we read, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of these things which are done by them in secret." Now, we don't have to be ignorant of the fact of sin. We can have a deep knowledge of sin, yet remain innocent of it. However, we should all be ignorant about the practice of evil. The believer's position has changed from darkness, that is sin, to light, which is righteousness. Believers are to change their walk to correspond to their position in Christ. The Lord is commanding the Christian from indulging in the modern preoccupation with examining the lurid details of evils such as the occult and other perverted practices. We may think that we need to have a detailed knowledge of all evil in order to avoid it. However, this is yet another cunning trick of the devil. And the principle can be illustrated this way. When I worked for the post office, occasionally counterfeit banknotes would turn up, either through a customer or even in cash deliveries. And they would all be different in so many different ways. Some were better than others. Now, the best way to identify these would be to be so familiar with the genuine articles that when a counterfeit note was presented, it would be obvious. If you know the real thing that much, anything less than that, you would know straight away. Therefore, if we are so familiar with God's word, then we should be able to identify anything which isn't right. If we do have a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, then we will know if we come across an antichrist. To fight the spiritual battle effectively, it is crucial for us to know something of how our enemy functions. Now, believers are encouraged to forgive one another so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs, which is from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Ignorance about what the devil is up to and ignorance of the damage done by unforgiveness is dangerous to our spiritual health. One of Satan's weapons is to keep people ignorant. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ." Ignorant people are easy prey for those with evil plans. And God tells us that idolatry springs from spiritual ignorance. In Isaiah chapter 45, verse 20, we read, "They have no knowledge who carry the wood of their carved image and pray to a God that cannot save." Ignorance of the true God is unjustifiable because the knowledge of God's existence and power is available all around us. Those who substitute false gods instead of pursuing the real God are sinfully ignorant. And Hebrews chapter 5, verse 2 tells us that Jesus is able to deal greatly with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. Remember, Christ was born, lived and died an earthly life, so he completely understands all that we go through in our lives. There is nothing that we go through that he hadn't gone through many times more. And God has tremendous patience, even with the ignorant. Even when we are willfully ignorant, he gives us many more opportunities to learn. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Paul said that God showed him mercy, because before Jesus saved him, he had acted in ignorance and unbelief, which we read in 1 Timothy 1:13, Acts chapter 3, verse 17. Now, God commands us to repent of our ignorance and seek him with all our hearts. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 12 to 13, we also read, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me, when you search for me with all your heart." Now, the opposite of spiritual ignorance is wisdom, and we are told to seek wisdom above all things. Proverbs 3, verses 13 to 19 reads, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honour. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens." Thankfully, wisdom is readily available. The book of Proverbs personifies wisdom as a noble lady who is calling out to all publicly, "To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be an understanding heart." Now, every time the Bible commands us to listen or to hear, God is giving us an opportunity to trade ignorance for his wisdom. And as we return to the incident at the end of Pilgrim's Progress, we may ask the question, what was it that kept ignorance from entering heaven? The story tells us that he lacked a certificate with which to enter. Meanwhile, Christian, who did have the aforementioned certificate, entered in unopposed. So does that mean that the Christian has to pass some sort of test or examination to earn the certificate? In the words of Paul, certainly not. The Christian does not earn a place in heaven. The certificate was a sign of a Christian's belief in Jesus Christ. Christian had trod the narrow path of life. He had passed through the narrow gate. Meanwhile, ignorance came and went. He took all the shortcuts possible. And he believed, as he approached the celestial city, that he had done enough to earn his place in eternity. Sadly, he would have heard these words from Jesus, from Matthew 7. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. How devastating it must have been to hear such words. Though to the ignorant, they may not have realised just how serious it was until it was too late. Now, what I don't want you to take from this sermon is ignorance. Sometimes if we heard a word so many times, it can take root in our minds and even our hearts. I don't want you to tell people that we know all there is to know about ignorance and we are now steeped in ignorance. I remember a song from the 1970s called There Are More Questions Than Answers. And as it continued, it said, asked the question, the more that I find out, the less I know. And Solomon, the wisest person who ever lived, could not cope with all that knowledge. Rather, it took him to a state of despair, despondency, and depression. And it was only as he reached a conclusion that he understood the whole matter. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, we read, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. Rather, we should have a more realistic understanding of ignorance, knowing that we can be ignorant of many things, but there are certain things that are crucial if we are to be saved. Acts 17, verse 30, we read, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. And in John chapter 14, verse 6, we read, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So as we conclude, these two readings tell us that God forgave us while we lived and did things in ignorance. And now we are aware of all our sins, we are to repent. We can only be saved through Christ and Christ alone. There is no other way. There is no shortcut, no escape hatch. If we do not have that close relationship with him, then we will be lost for all of eternity. And the danger is we can become complacent about what we believe and how we live our lives. And I'm speaking now in the same way I've spoken to myself in the bathroom mirror this week. And my reality check is thus. Attending church every Lord's Day, attending every prayer meeting, supporting the church, missionaries and Christian organisations financially, reading your Bible every day and helping out needy people will not guarantee a place in heaven. If you haven't trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and you can't say he is your best friend, then I or you will be rejected even though we reach the very edge of heaven. So may we all today examine our walk with God. May we recommit ourselves to building a better relationship with him through Christ. And if there is any who haven't made that commitment, ask God to grant you understanding so that you too come to share that eternal security through him. Amen. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.